You are listening to Everyday Global Anglicans, a podcast produced by GAFCON, Global Anglican Future Conference. This podcast and other resources are made possible by people like you. Please help us to continue making these resources available by visiting us at gafcon.org. GAFCON's mission is to guard the unchanging, transforming gospel of Jesus Christ and to proclaim him to the world. Hello, my name is Ernie Dito, and I'm the Communications Director for GAFCON and the regular host for Everyday Global Anglicans. We're joined today by Archbishop Foley Beach and singer-songwriters Keith and Kristen Getty. Archbishop Foley is the Archbishop of the Anglican Church in North America, and he is the chairman of GAFCON. You have likely sung a song at one point in the life of your church, written or collaborated on by Keith and Kristen Getty. Songs like In Christ Alone have been sung around the globe, and it is estimated by more than 100 million people every year. It's incredible. They tour internationally and have performed at venues from Royal Albert Hall to Carnegie Hall. Last year, they launched an annual Sing conference and movement. In this podcast edition, we talk about how we observe and practice Advent, songs that lend well to congregational singing in Advent, the Getty's Evensong collection, and how Kristen was drawn to Evensong, the importance of liturgical services and calendar, how they have morphed their ministry and vocation with the Sing Conference in this year of COVID, and the Getty's graciously offer several of their Advent and other songs for free in an MP3 download and song sheet download for worship leaders, all of which you can find on the GAFCON resource page. And finally, the podcast is wrapped up with a beautiful gift of song from the Getty's as they play and sing Christine Rossetti's In the Bleak Midwinter with a new chorus inspired by Simeon's song. We caught up with the Getty's at their home in Northern Ireland, where we talked with them and Archbishop Foley about Advent. GAFCON is focusing this month on Advent, and in particular, Advent as related to the suffering church. Advent brings themes of longing for justice to return and for when the king returns, when all things will be made new and right again. And as a result, we at GAFCON identify with, are trying to identify and raise the consciousness of those around the world who are part of the suffering church. And so that is what we are focusing on today with both of you all, or all three of you all. And to help us set the table with that, Archbishop, I was wondering if you could help us so that we don't get confused of Christmas and Advent. What is Advent and why?
Great question. Advent is a season of the church, actually the beginning of the church year, in which we focus on the coming of Christ. And what ends up sadly happening is because of the commercialism in our world, is everything gets focused toward Christmas on his first coming. But if you'll notice the readings and the scriptures for the first part of Advent, it's all about the return of Jesus, his second coming, when he comes again to judge the world, to make everything right. And so there's this transition during the season event of Advent from preparing for his second coming to preparing to celebrate his first coming when he was born on Christmas. And so that's a simplistic way of looking at Advent. I hope that answers what you were asking.
Sure. I find that it's rich in so much symbolism with the candles and things of that nature, and also songs. However, as worship leader, it gets a little tricky when you're asked do Advent songs, not Christmas songs. And I was wondering, first of all, do you have some Advent song or songs that are favorites for you?
I do. It's really it's almost humorous, but challenging, because most of our congregations want us singing Christmas songs.
That's right.
But I think, you know, what jumps out for me is "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." the tune of that and the lyrics of that are just that it just always get to me. And "Come Thou, Long Expected Jesus," which the words of that are really, really solid. Those are two of my favorites.
Yeah. Now, let me just segue over to the Getty's now. So for you all, we'll address some of the songs that you have written, actually, but are there as we enter this season, are there songs that you all are drawn to or that you tapped into?
He's mentioned our two favorite right there.
Yeah. No, I think he kind of stole our answer, which is, I guess if you're an archbishop, you can do that. But no, I mean, I was thinking about Come Along Expected Jesus.
Every year
in the Christmas production that we do, which starts in Advent, because the second half, we imitate the Anglican Nine Lessons and Carols. So the second half of the show goes through that. It always begins, and it's interesting watching people's faces, and you think about, as Archbishop Beach said already, you think about the context that it was written in and the context of Christ came, and you think of it today, you know. So Come Along Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears, from our sins, release us, let us find our rest. People rush into a Christmas event or any event in your church over Christmas. They are more stressed. They are more burdened. There is more angst and rush in their faith and usually exhaustion. And you're thinking, let us find our rest in the Israel's strength and consolation, joy of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. And I think first of all of the people I'm with, because that's kind of what buzzes me. But I think we think of the Jewish people who were longing for the Messiah's come. And then we think about today and we go, well, actually, this is our proper posture. We're supposed to live every day longing for his return, you know, and we long for his return because this world is not all there is. And the problem when we're trying to address large amounts of modern culture, whether it be the millennial thought, the media thought, whatever it is, or just the general thought, is that we're trying to reason all of life like it has to happen now, like this is all there is. In fact, one of the reasons the church's year begins with Advent is because that is the proper posture for all of life, that we're living now longing for the one who is to come.
And we don't only have to slow down as grown-ups, but as parents to four young children, trying to help them slow down and not rush to December 25th and to really understand what it means. And so the songs particularly help us do that. And I was looking in my phone just yesterday, going back to last year, and Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, of a video of the girls, because it was their song of the month last November. And they learnt to sing, and it became a way for us to teach them these similar ideas.
Wow. Now, you just rattled off those words. Did you do that by memory, or do you have a cheat sheet there?
No.
We've done these things once or twice. When you do a Christmas tour, you sing it every night for weeks on end.
Charles Wesley, and I hate to give a Methodist credit on this show. It's bad publicity for you, I know. But, you know, at the end of the day, he started off in Anglican. That's right, Dr. Spade. I mean, the Wesleys were trained in Anglicanism, and then they kind of, lost their way as they got older. But Charles Wesley was kind of the Bach of hymn writing, because he basically wrote a song in every single genre that was better than everybody else's. And as a hymn writer who isn't as good, I spent my whole life thinking he was just doing this deliberately so that, you know, we'd always know that we were never quite good enough. But this one is as good as any. And actually, there's quite a lot of missing verses in a number of the hymn books. I don't know if you guys have that.
But we do three normally, right?
We do three, but with a middle edited verse. But it's an extraordinary thing. Good. We agree with the Archbishop.
Archbishop Foley, you have some other commitments that you'll have to move on to, given that this is Thanksgiving week in America. This is the week on Thursday, we give thanks to God for the many blessings in our nation. And so before you take off, I wanted to ask you, you had mentioned Getty's a little way that he has helped inspire you on some of your recent work related to Evensong. Can you share a little bit about that?
You go for it, sir.
Well, I was just going to say, they have come up with a beautiful arrangement of so many songs that really help with the whole Evensong, what Evensong is all about. I'll let Kristen talk about it.
Yeah, you explain what Evensong is.
Evensong is basically the evening prayer service, but it's put in a music form. And so it's sung evening prayer. And evening prayer is basically certain prayers that you say every night before you go to bed to close the day, to make sure you're closing the day with the Lord correctly.
And I was so moved by that idea because we do something like that with our children each night and hadn't called it Evensong, but had seen its great benefit in teaching them songs and helping bring comfort and peace before they go to sleep, and how that also helped us as we were leading them. And I remember chatting to you and you just saying it's intended to find us where we are at the end of the day and lead us to the Lord. And so that sort of set the table for us when it came to trying to gather songs, old and new, and lullabies.
Yeah. You talked about sanctifying the night.
Yeah.
And when Michael Card, our old friend Michael Card, heard the album, he said, you should have called it Sanctify the Night.
It's really a nice idea. So much more sanctifying than doing this right before you go to sleep, isn't it? Your phone.
You know, our generation, for all our supposed sophistication and therapy and learning how to sleep and rest and relax and all this kind of thing, you know, a previous generation had a hymn book, or in the Anglican's case, a prayer book, typically by your bedside. Our generation's, our equivalent is typically Netflix. And so there is definitely a knock-on effect to our peace, to our contentment, to our sense of true rest.
I think it affects our spirit, that inner part of us. And it actually does something to dwarf it and to hinder and block the ability to hear and fellowship with God the way we end our days typically in our culture. So what you guys have done is a great way to draw people into the presence of the Lord before they enter into the evening rest.
As we say thanks and goodbye to Archbishop Foley Veach, and thank you again for joining us, I wanted to share just one song that kind of would tie together for North America Thanksgiving week along with Advent. And that is a song that the Gettys do, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. I think it has actually some tie-ins for both themes. The beginning of this week is Christ the King Sunday, right? The last Sunday of the calendar. And then next Sunday, which at this recording time will be the first Sunday of Advent. And the second verse really stands out to me. Now, if you have this still memorized, Keith, I'm going to be amazed. But it goes something like this. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes fears to fly. What do we need that right this moment in COVID? Whose every promise is enough for every step I take. And here's the word, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. The thing that I hear from Pakistan and from others around the world who are suffering, the church there, is that they ask for prayers, not just that the suffering would be relieved, but that they would be sustained, by God. And I think that would be our prayer as we are in the middle and as we enter Advent, that we would call to God and he would sustain us during this time as we wait in the long expected Jesus. I thought your words of that, I don't know who wrote that.
It was Stuart Townend. The Weaknesses and Strength line actually was mine, but I'm afraid the lyric is all Stuart Townend's. It was basically taking the concept of thankfulness. And, you know, obviously it's the most, I think the most common word used in Paul's letters. And so how do you capture what the Apostle Paul is doing, mostly writing from prison? And so he took the idea of thankfulness always being in spiritual blessings, because he encourages us to have spirits of thankfulness in every situation, Titus and that kind of stuff. But when he actually specifies thanksgiving, it's always spiritual blessings. So the first verse is the past, the second verse is the present, and the third verse is the future. And I think Stuart really, that second verse, we actually had the entire song recorded and we had to come back and record the second verse. The day of the album we were sending it to mix, we came up with this new idea, and then we went back and forward in that. So nice. I'm glad you picked that, because that brings back a terrifying memory.
Thank you so much for joining us, Archbishop, and we release you. I know that you have a fairly busy schedule right now, and so thank you.
You're welcome. It's great to be with you guys, and great to see you, Gettys. I look forward to the time we can have fellowship together, and to everyone else. Just, you know, we're in this time of COVID. People are living in fear. Our whole lives have been turned upside down. But, you know, Advent is a time of anticipation, of hope, of expectation, of the Lord's coming. And when he comes, he says he's going to make everything right. And so we look forward to that day in Jesus' name. So, God bless you all.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. So Geddes, tell us about where you're going with Advent now. Now you've released some songs that are particular to it. Are you calling them Advent songs or?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, just, it would be remiss of me not just to mention again, and just our gratitude to what you guys are doing. The darkest moment in my life in terms of faith was the early university years. And I'm not going to pretend that I have had suffering like many of my friends during the COVID season, nor that we have had suffering like many of our friends around the world have this Christmas and this Advent. But I do know, I always tell people when I had my darkest moment of faith and questioned if I believed it or not, the thing that was most potent, the two things that helped me were a man called John Lennox and his inspiration, who of course was Kristen's uncle, the apologist, Professor John Lennox, and he and Linda Schmidler, Kristen later. And the second thing was walking across from St. Chad's College, that was my college in Durham, and going across to Durham Cathedral and sitting through Evensong and sitting through services and just... because the beauty of liturgy, whether it is the liturgy of the church's year or the liturgy of the evensong or the liturgy of a service, is that it actually doesn't just give shape to our worship, but it gives shape to our life. It establishes a sense of order that is, you know, thoroughly biblical and actually is thoroughly healthy. And so as much as I had some pretty tough times at that stage, I'm not meaning to over-egg them, but, you know, I'm so grateful for it. So I just want to say, you know, again, but thanks to Archbishop Beach, but to all of you guys for what you're doing. The importance of creating a sense of liturgy in our week-by-week services, but in the overall sort of macro picture of our year as well. It's so important.
It is one of the things that, you know, I'm a newcomer to Anglicanism, I guess, 12 years ago, and that was one of the things that drew us to it was the... for instance, during Advent right now, the visceral nature of what happens in that our children are called to go up front in the service and, you know, they light the candles or some of the candles and there's that awkward moment when sometimes it doesn't light right and everyone chuckles. But and particularly if we integrate it in our family life it's in the warp and woof of the day, actually, the beginning and the end, and then when they go to church as part of it, and it does establish a rhythm, like you're saying. Has that, okay, so you are doing some evensong type stuff with your children. Do you all integrate any kind of traditions during the season with your children?
We'll talk about the reading through.
Yeah, well, all this year we have been going through as a one-year Bible for kids. So we've been walking them through the whole story this year. And in December, we're going to sort of micro that and go into the big sweeping story through the Jesse tree, which we will do for 25 days in December. And we are learning Once in Royal David City is our Christmas carol that we're learning with the children. So I think we've got verse one nearly done. Mm-hmm. And we'll move on to verse two and try and get that ready so that we can sing that as a family with the other ones we learned last year.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, when we're thinking about our children's imagination, when we're thinking about our congregation, heed inspiration, obviously there's the basic principle of understanding in Advent that this is not all there is. And so that shapes our prayers, it shapes our preaching, it shapes our songs and shapes our life. But there's also the aspect of all of Christian worship is a form of art. And so art needs several things. One of them is art needs a sense of story. And so it creates that sense of story. And of course, what has famously made contemporary Christian art, and whether it's movies, music, or anything else, so just appalling, is this lack of darkness and tension. So it's no wonder that a lot of churches actually don't want to wait. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to wait. You know, it's hard to create the tension that allows resolution. So at multiple layers, I would encourage people, whether it's just in simple ways in your prayers, to throughout the Christmas season, to have that sense of longing, to appreciate the prophecy and what comes before that, but also to appreciate the world around us. You know, You know, we pray each day. As a family, we pray through Operation World in the mornings. I pray through it, and Kristen prays through it. And some days we include it with the girls, sometimes we don't. But it is probably the most grounding part of my day, is that this morning I was praying for Turkey, and there are 57 million people in that country. It was once the headquarters of Christianity in the New Testament. And today, it is 0.005% of the population are committed Christians. And the struggles that they go through, it helps put our lives in a right perspective, because if we're pretending those things don't exist, that's not reality. That's anything but reality.
Yes, you're right. Thank you for bringing that up, Turkey. I was there a few years ago with the Christian congregation, and they literally had a police car in the front of the where the building is that they met, and then they had a policeman sitting on the outside of the worship service, and then they had one on the inside, three of them. They're all there to protect them, which means that they were there to watch them, and they were there to protect them too because of bombings, but they saw it as a great opportunity to minister to the policemen themselves, and that was very, you know, Paul with his Roman guards-esque in nature. And yes, we need to be praying for them continually. So help us highlight some songs that, just so everyone knows, the Gettys have been incredibly generous, and five of their songs, four or five, I think it is, you will be gifting. Is that the way to say it? GAFCON.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It may be more, because I didn't realize it was more Advent than Christmas. I'm going to change a couple out. So as soon as I'm off this call, I'm going to call them and say, let's change that one.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just unbelievable that you're willing to do that. And so that GAFCON subscribers can take advantage of this and opportunity.
100%.
Thank you. As a worship leader, you know, scrounging every week and dealing with that, this is amazing. So what would you point us to? What are some of the songs that you would point us to? And what's maybe ones that are really welling in your heart right now?
Well, obviously, we're going to give My Heart Is Filled with Thankfulness, for sure. It might be a little bit late for this Sunday for some, but it's still a good song to have. It can be used throughout the year. It can be used in communion as easily. It can be used in Thanksgiving as it can be in the first half of Advent. I think what I'm going to do now that I'm thinking is, we wrote a song called O Come Redeemer of the Earth, Kristen and I, which was a melody that I wrote many years ago. And it was actually originally recorded by the choir called Anuna in Ireland. And it's probably one of my favorite tunes I've written, isn't it? But I think we should do that one, shouldn't we?
So that was Savior of the Fallen.
Wow.
That was the Savior of the Fallen with the original, but then you did a second version.
Of that, yes.
Which was Advent, O Come Redeemer of the Earth.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I forgot.
So I think that'll be absolutely perfect. I think that is an Advent piece will be completely perfect.
Yeah.
So we'll send that one, and then
we'll wait
probably
for you.
I think that'll be, do you like that? You like I Will Wait For You? Fantastic.
Let me tell you what. Listened to it again last night, and that the beginning, the Scottish Psalter part.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, and it, you know, segues beautifully into Kristen. I was like scouring through the internet trying to find the rest of the words and where did you get this and everything. And then, of course, I saw it at the very bottom that you all had the credits. That is amazing. I just love it. What a congregational song.
So here's the story. So the band were recording in a little harbor here called what was it called again? Port Bradon Harbor. And I was outside as they were recording it and looking across towards Scotland and thinking about all of it. And my dad's first job as a church organist was organist in Bushmills Presbyterian. And so I called him. I said, Dad, what did you sing in the Scottish Psalter to this? We're sitting talking about it. And so we find this melody. And
called Martyrdom.
It's called Martyrdom, which is a nice positive sounding word. But you know, I'm going to die. That's going to be great. And so we combined the two together. And it's one of our favorite songs to do because it starts and ends with the old Psalms. So it's a bit of my first collection. My dad had always wanted me to do the Psalms. And so this was our first collection of Psalms. So I opened the whole thing as a kind of a cap off to my father by opening it with Martyrdom, opening the whole thing to sort of join the ancient and the modern. Although ironically, of course, the song has now become a massive hit for Shane and Shane, and their version, they don't do that. So Shane and Shane have taken our song and done a version, a more sort of contemporary version. So if your church are much more contemporary, I do actually also recommend, Shane and Shane's version, because they, you know, it's very accessible. They've really made it like a worship, massive worship ballad, haven't they, Kristen? Mm-hmm. So it's been really cool to see that.
What a brilliant way of us combining the two. It just works. So it seemed to me, it seemed like it was the one that I saw, a version that was on YouTube. I think it may have been at Sing Conference, but I'm not sure. It seemed like a special moment. It seemed like one of those moments. And the outro, I have the words here. I pray my soul waits for the Lord. My hope is in his word. More than the watchman waits for dawn, my soul waits for the Lord. There's Advent right there.
That's great.
I would say. Oh, wow. And then I have on here, Born Where the Shadows Lie and Imagine. Are those, Imagine definitely looks like it's.
Wow.
They're old songs.
You're taking us all down memory lane here in songs that are the shadows.
They were both written in the North Coast of Ireland the year we got married. So that was back in 2004. We were doing a Christmas project, and they're both your songs. You talk about them.
Well, I'm trying to think. Born Where the Shadows Lie. I remember that one. What is Imagine?
Imagine a king who would come through the darkness and walk where I walk.
I completely forgotten about that song. What did we write that for?
That was for the original. That was a collection of songs. What we did was we decided to call it, being nerds, we decided to call it a musical exposition of John 1. So it was basically all these songs that go through John 1. So Joy Has Dawned, Fullness of Grace, of course, obviously, they were all songs inspired by John chapter 1. So we called it a musical exposition. Nobody cared, but you know, we did. We thought it was cool. So,
U-Haul, this year, I want to lead you guys to do some shameless plugs here. So this year, you had a very unusual year with their Sing Conference. It probably had everything all planned and buttoned up and ready to go, and then all of a sudden COVID hit. How did that go? Where is it going, Sing Conference? Because I have to say, we made it, due to your generosity, again, available, a significant discount for people to around the Anglican Communion to tap into. I benefited by it. I got maybe a quarter of the way through all of them. I'm still listening and jogging and listening to these various talks and everything from it. So Rich, tell us about it.
Gosh, well, I'll go first and you can maybe add your bit. But, you know, last year, I will start by saying last year in 19, we had a retreat with our staff, and we prayed that as we were entering what was probably the second half of our careers, we don't presume that. The Lord knows our days, not us, but we're asked to plan things and be stewards. We felt going forward into the second half of our careers, we wanted to be more global. We wanted to be deeper above anything else. And thirdly, we wanted to be more practically applied on a Sunday. So what we're doing was interesting and artistic, but is it actually affecting churches every Sunday the way it's supposed to? And so those were our questions. That was our three questions. And it's the bizarreness of it was that with one stroke of the coronavirus, our organization became that, but it wasn't our wisdom. It was just our reaction. So both the tours obviously were canceled. With the National Hymn Tour and the Irish Christmas Tour each year, they were both canceled. Then the conference was canceled, and we were thinking, what do we do? And we decided, let's put it online. And that way it becomes more global. That way people have more time and can go deeper. And we'll create, so the Sing Global essentially became a 365 days a year conference. So you get your access to it all year round, and with lots of other things. Thirdly, then we have a chance, you know, to actually become more practical on a week by week level to churches and connect with churches and start programs and education processes and these kind of things. So all of those things, you know, were good. And you know, in the providence of God, the conference doubled in size. So we still don't know why, over doubled in size. So, and obviously it's reached across the world, grew, and then our foundation, we've started to set up a foundation, and they managed to fund the translation into Mandarin, into Korean, into Portuguese, into many other languages. And so that side of the work has really all grown through that. But as I said, it was a reaction. It wasn't. I wish I could tell you I had the courage to cancel tours a year before and change our tactic. I didn't. Yeah.
And it was year four of a journey that we're doing. Sing Conference started 4 years ago. It was just the ideas of Sing was year one. Then year two was singing through the Psalms. Year three, singing through the life of Christ. And this one was singing through the scriptures. And we really actually enjoyed the opportunity it provided in reaching further and inviting more contributors who wouldn't otherwise have been able to come to Nashville, whose own schedules were suddenly freed up. And so many great people from all over the world were able to speak in, were able to sing in. So it was really encouraging.
We were able to get Archbishop Foley Bates.
Even Archbishop Foley Bates.
Yes.
Archbishop Robert Duncan. That was brilliant, actually.
Yeah.
It was so helpful.
Yeah.
Well, let me just tell you, I'm impressed not only of how many interviews you guys did through that and your appearances, but then for the staff that pulled Josh and Debbie and others who helped pull that together. That is, I've been a part of these big conferences and. That is unbelievable what they have pulled off, and with the app and all the things going forward. I mean, you can still sign up for it, I think, and there's some sort of a thing where you can Sing Global. You can sign up and even get like 20 talks or something for free.
Well, you're trying to develop it to be more.
Yeah, I mean, really, the vision for Sing Global is that you sign up for the year and you get the online conference. And you get everything 365 days a year. So it's actually cheaper now than it was to go to Sing Conference. And you get it 365 days a year. So anybody can join in. And then there's each month, there's different things, you know.
We're adding to the content.
Yeah, so like this month with the John Lennox movie Against the Tide, you know, there was an exclusive viewing of the movie, which was only given to Sing Global. There was an exclusive interview John Lennox did for Sing Global. You know, so there's lots and lots of extras, lots and lots of ways to do it. So it's really trying to create a global... I guess a global sort of fellowship of people who have similar cares and concerns and desires and in church music and work with them.
Well, praise God that it came off and that it's growing. I'm hoping that it continues to grow. And your efforts in raising up a generation of hymn writers, we could go on and on about that as well, I'm sure. But you know what? It was mentioned the possibility that you might have something you might want to share at all, if it's too late there and you want to get on and get back to the kids and fine, but if there is something that you would love to share on the guitar or something.
Are we going to do that now?
Sure. Do you want to do a song? Do you want to do In the Blick or something? Or?
We can.
Would it be wrong if we did a Christmas song rather than Advent, or what do you want to do?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, someone in our secretariat actually put up a Christmas tree in their house before even the end of November. So I think we could sing a Christmas song.
This is the Christmas Carol by Christina Rossetti, In the Bleak Midwinter, with a new chorus inspired by Simeon's song, The Nunc Dimittis. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as siren, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long ago, our God him cannot hold him, nor sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed for the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Gloria, Gloria.
as the Lord has promised, I may go in peace.
Keith and Kristen Getty, thank you so much. May we go in peace this Advent. May you go in peace with your children. Thank you for the gift that you've given us today. Thank you to me and the Anglicans around the world. Thank you so much. Happy Advent. Blessed Advent for you and your children and the work of your hands and your voices. Keep it up.
You have been listening to the Everyday Global Anglicans podcast produced by GAFCON. Please visit gafcon.org to learn more about the many resources and work of GAFCON as we proclaim Christ faithfully.